Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate Show. I'm Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor. And on this show, we teach you how to build wealth by answering questions that you have about real estate investing. So our goal here is to aim to make you a more intelligent real estate investor. And one of the ways I think we can do that is by listening to other people's questions, things that you might not have thought about yourself, but you can gain some valuable insight into the investing process. So these are three questions we will answer today on the show, and you can leave us a voicemail question if you'd like by going to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. Again, that's morrisinvest.com/Clayton. Leave us a 30-second voicemail question, and we will answer it here. All right, our first question comes from Delonte. Let's listen to Delonte's question.
Hi, Clayton. This is Delonte in Illinois. I want to apply for a Series LLC to place my rentals in, but I'd like to do it in another state like Wyoming or Delaware, because of the low costs and fees. My question is, if you have any experience with out-of-state LLCs to hold investments, what are the pros and cons? Where do you have your LLCs personally? Are they in specific states you have your properties in? Or do you have a one parent or master LLC and then hold a number of separate LLCs within it? Any help you can do? Thanks.
Thanks so much, Delonte, for that question. That's a high-level question and a very intelligent one. Very, very good question. So over the years, we've talked about our different structure and how we do it. I would advise you, though, to seek your own legal counsel with your own team and setting up your, if you're going to go the Series LLC route, that is definitely different than getting an LLC structure. Okay, these are two different things. And there are definitely podcast episodes we've done. I'm going to link it up in the description below with different Series LLC experts that you should speak to if that's the route you want to go. And they can set that up for you on the legal side. Okay. Those names escape me at the moment, but we've had some great experts on the show. Again, we'll link up those episodes so you can contact them if you want to set up a Series LLC. Again, it's different than a regular LLC structure. Different thing. Now, I personally have zero experience setting up Series LLCs. The structure that we have is sort of an older school approach where we end up having to pay our accountant per LLC that we've structured, limited liability companies that we've structured. You know, let me just give you the high level Series LLC disclaimer here. A Series LLC basically means that you do not have to set up 80 different LLCs for each rental property. You're basically doing it one time. That's the benefit of it, okay? And again, I'm not going to say pros and cons on this because, again, I'm not a lawyer, but I will say when we were back examining, looking at Series LLCs at the time, they hadn't yet been tested in the courts. This was a complaint we were hearing from our legal advisors personally. There's a long history of LLCs being challenged in courts for liability protection at the court level for owners of LLCs. It goes back hundreds of years. But the Series LLC was sort of new to the game and didn't have the kinds of court challenges that you would like to set up precedent so that, you know, lawyers can say, you know, hey, that case over in Illinois set the precedent for this. That has changed, I understand. So again, seek your advice on the Series LLC front. Again, personally, we have our LLCs in every state where we own rental properties. The LLCs in those states hold those states' properties in that LLC. Then those LLCs report up to a bigger LLC. You know, again, this is all flowing upwards to another LLC that we have in I believe it's in Wyoming. And then from Wyoming, we have that reporting up to our main holding. So again, that's the way that we structure it. That way it's we set up the LLCs in the states where our properties are located, and then those report up to our main LLC in the state of Wyoming. And then from there, it goes further to our other holdings. Very, very important structure that we've set up. And again, we did it all through our lawyers. When you've got multiple properties and multiple structures, that's how we were advised to do it over the years through our accountants and legal team. And we know that a lot of investors do it this way, that if you own a property in Florida, you set up an LLC in Florida, that LLC basically is pretty passive. It's just collecting the rent. And then that rent is being handed up to your holding company LLC, whether it's in Delaware or Wyoming. We've always heard, you know, Wyoming is the best in the country for this. That in Nevada, also very, very good. And so I think Nevada is really trying to compete with Wyoming for that purpose right now. So again, Talk to your legal team about this. Talk to your accountants. They will advise you on which states are the best structure, and they can point you in the right direction on that. So we will have links in the show description below about Series LLC if you want to explore that as an option. It might be the best solution for you if you're just getting started. For us, we would have to unwind a lot of the LLCs that we started over the years, and they've been perfect for us because we did all that legwork ahead of time. It'd be way more of a headache for us to unwind it all than to just start fresh. And if you're just starting out, the Series LLC might be the way to go. All right. Thank you for that question. All right. Our next one comes from Ms. Rosso.
Hello, Clayton. This is Ms. Rosso. I have a question. With your services, what I wanted to know is, do you or your company help to help us set up an LLC so that our rental properties are listed not as personal, but as an LLC? Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you, Ms. Rosso. I appreciate the question. Yes. So at our company, for those of you that are new, I run a company called Morris Invest, and we're a full service rental real estate company. And what our team does is help people set up LLCs and take them through that process. We work with different law firms that can help you in that way, and we can point you in the right direction on that. However, I will say it's not necessary at the beginning to buy a rental property, because you might actually you might want to be using conventional financing. And to use conventional financing, you're not able to purchase it in an LLC at the beginning. But later, you can transfer it to the LLC after closing. And those are all things that that our team can talk to you about on the phone. So again, buying the property, you might, because of interest rates are so low, using conventional financing, they're going to probably, depending on whether you do non-recourse or regular financing, you're going to have to buy it in your own name. And then from there, once you close on the property, you own it, there are a number of different ways to move that into an LLC, and so that it's that you're protected and that the bank won't worry about it calling the note due, et cetera. But again, our team can talk with you about that on the phone. And you're asking a great question about LLCs. Ultimately, yes, you want to have a property in a limited liability company at some point, some sort of a legal structure. The only reason you're doing it is for liability protection. That's it. Right. The whole point of setting up an LLC for rental real estate ownership, just like Delonte had asked in his question, was a protection. You're just trying to protect yourself from liability and any kind of legal recourse that someone slips and falls on a property, then they can't sue you personally for your personal assets. It's only tied to the LLC that owns the property. And so they cannot sue you for your personal assets under the law. And that's the way that works. So great question. But yes, our team can help you set that up. And so just book a call with us. Just go to morrisinvest.com and we're happy to help you with that. Today's episode is brought to you by ScoreMaster. Did you know the average American has 97 points they could add to their credit score? Yeah, it's true. But they also have no idea how to get them. The data scientists, though, at ScoreMaster have cracked the code on how to do this, and they can add 97 points to your credit score. It's like found money. It means fast loan approvals, huge discounts, low interest rates on everything from buying or refinancing a home to leasing a new car to applying for a credit card. How fast is ScoreMaster? One member raised his credit score 33 points in just 5 days. Another, 43 points in a couple of weeks. ScoreMaster is so easy, it takes about a minute to get started. And if you hurry, you can get to try ScoreMaster for free. That's right, you can try ScoreMaster for free, have nothing to lose, and see how many plus points you can add to your credit score. Just go to scoremaster.com/investing. That's scoremaster.com/investing. You have to go to that URL in order to be able to try it for free. Again, that's scoremaster.com/investing. Our next question comes to us from David.
Hi, Clayton. This is David. I inherited 13 acres of property adjacent to an elementary school. I think it would be a good build to rent project. I would like your thoughts. Thank you.
It sounds great. I mean, I will say that it depends on the school district, of course. You know, we where we buy land is in the best school districts. So where we're buying our land to build our properties for our clients is in the best school districts. So what I would do is first see if there, what sort of restrictions there are with the city. You know, these are things you're going to have to jump through with the city, find out at the county level, you know, what is able to be built there next to a school. Is it residential? Is it commercial? All of those questions I'm sure you're probably already looking into. And then does it make sense to build there and sell to, you know, how many units could you build there? How could you build six or seven duplexes on that property, or even, you know, way more than that? 13 acres is a lot of land. You could, you know, depends on what you want to build there. Build a nice community of duplexes, higher end duplexes that are right in the best school district, right there across the street. Sounds like an, you know, fantastic opportunity, quite honestly, or single family homes. So I would talk to some builders, get a sense of what they think would be the best use for that land. Maybe profitably right now, it makes sense for you to build and sell as well in that area. Again, so a whole bunch of things to look through, but I would certainly start at the county, find out what sort of restrictions there are. Are there any setback restrictions from the city that you can't build in this particular area, or you couldn't build more than two stories? Or there's a whole bunch of things to consider in your school districts. So I would definitely look at the city level with that. It sounds great. Again, being that close to a school is usually a positive, but it's not always a positive. I will say that we don't build right next to a school. Right next to a school can actually not be as valuable a property as you might think. Okay. So we like to be close, but not next to. The reason I say that is because you get all that foot traffic. There's a lot of noise, buses, cars. And so while it may sound attractive, on paper, it ends up not being. Just ask any realtor or ask any property management company. Typically, it's not going to rent for as much as if it was back a little ways, a few blocks away from the school. On Friday night football games, when they're playing and they get the loud music and the band and, you know, all that stuff. We used to be able to hear that from blocks away. Imagine living right next to a school. So these are things that might on paper sound great, but it might not actually be. So things to think about as you go. It may make more sense. I will say, David, it may make more sense to talk to the school about buying the land. You know, maybe there's more profit in selling to the school. They want to build something there, another gymnasium or something. It might make more sense for you to explore that opportunity rather than trying to do a project that might not be as profitable as you think it is. So a lot of things to think about. But David, thanks for the question. It's a good problem to have, though, inheriting 13 acres right near a school. Good stuff. Good stuff. Thank you, everyone, for your great questions. Go to morrisinvest.com/Clayton and leave us a voicemail question. I'd love to answer your questions here on the show. Really a lot of thoughtful ones today. Really good questions. So I really appreciate your thoughtful questions. And remember, go out there and take action. Become a real estate investor, whether it's, you know, buying your first rental property or you've got 13 acres of land that you're not sure what to do with it. Just take action. Become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time, everyone.